Welcome to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Coming up, we'll review the week's top stories about Illinois' corporate income tax and tax credit climate compared to neighboring Missouri and an effort to modify Illinois' Biometric Information Privacy Act. I'll then join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss those stories and more. That's ahead with Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop.
Do you know what elected officials in Illinois are doing with your tax dollars? Do you want to make sure that your voice is heard? If so, then you need Blue Room Stream, a live and archived video streaming service that provides access to government meetings and events. With Blue Room Stream, you can watch how your elected officials make decisions, hold them accountable for their actions, and be a more informed citizen. Blue Room Stream is the perfect way to get involved in the democratic process and to make a difference in your community. Subscribe today at blueroomstream.com.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus. I'm Greg Bishop. Here are some of the top stories from the past week. While Illinois looks at tax credits for gifting endowments, those with student loans, companies hiring journalists, and others, Missouri is looking at phasing out not just tax credits, but also their corporate income tax. Katrina Peterson has more.
Not among the slew of tax credits the Senate is reviewing is the Invest in Kids School Choice Scholarship tax credit, which expired at the end of 2023, and there's been no public discussion about revisiting the program. State Representative Blaine Wilhauer said Illinois has a lot of advantages over Missouri and that the state should be a powerhouse, but the policies pushed under the dome make the state uncompetitive.
I mean, there's all kinds of gimmicks that we do through government with picking winners and losers, but at the end of the day, if we just fix our structural problems, if we prioritize the things that are important to bring jobs and opportunities back, the natural advantages to Illinois are going to show through.
Governor J.B. Pritzker said Illinois doesn't pick winners and losers.
Illinois is, in fact, attracting companies from all over the world.
I'm Katrina Peterson.
The Illinois Senate has passed legislation that would make changes to the liability guidelines in the Biometric Information Privacy Act. Kevin Bessler has that story.
State Senator Bill Cunningham's bill would limit the number of claims accrued under that scenario should an employee bring a lawsuit against a company for a violation of BIPA.
The businesses that have failed to follow the law by getting consent to use biometric materials should be held accountable, but it's important that the punishment fits the crime.
State Senator John Curran says he wishes there were more changes to BIPA, but this is a start.
Do nothing leaves Illinois businesses subject to really nihilistic judgments and losses of jobs.
The measure also modernizes the manner in which written consent can be granted to include the use of electronic signatures. The Senate passed the bill by a 46-13 vote, and it now goes to the House. I'm Kevin Bessler.
Those are the top stories from the past week from Illinois. Find more online at thecentersquare.com. Coming up for Illinois in Focus, I'll join the Center Square's Dan McCaleb to further discuss the news. This is Illinois in Focus, a production of America's Talking Network. I'm Greg Bishop.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at Value.
Welcome back to Illinois in Focus, powered by the Center Square. I'm Dan McCaleb, Chief Content Officer at Franklin News Foundation, publisher of the Center Square Newswire service. We are recording this on Thursday, April 11th. The Illinois legislature was back in full session mode this week, with dozens of legislative hearings taking place, with debates on bills, the proposed staged budget, and more. At one hearing, the Nonpartisan Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability met to review the fiscal year 2025 State Employees Group Insurance Program. We learned from the commission that the taxpayer cost to pay for state workers' health insurance is skyrocketing, with the state's taxpayers being asked to pay a 16.5% increase over the current fiscal year plan. Joining me today to discuss this is Greg Bishop, the Center Square's Illinois Associate Editor. Greg, the Center Square's Katrina Peterson covered this hearing for us. Why such a big blow to taxpayers?
Yeah, this is a fascinating topic when you get into the minutia of benefits for state employees. And while Illinoisans may regularly hear about the unfunded pension liability, some of the more kind of known and not as clearly understood are other types of benefits like health insurance. Some of the recording and review of the overall taxpayer cost when it comes to retirees has started to include the other post-employment benefits for retirees. And that includes, for Tier 1 retirees, fully subsidized by the taxpayers, health insurance. But you also have health insurance for current state employees. And if you look at some of the numbers that our reporter Katrina Peterson gathered from the most recent COGFA hearing, you look at the proposed spend, and they're looking to get $6.9 billion, which is actually a 21% overall increase from the previous year of $5.7 billion. Now, what's causing this? Some may say it's inflation. The Department of Central Management Services pointed to that. But State Senator Dave Severson, a Republican from Cherry Hills and a commission member for COGFA, he said that other states are not experiencing this level of an increase for their state employees' health insurance plans. And the CMS director actually used the word Cadillac when discussing the state employee health benefit. So it raises the question on just how generous the state employee health insurance programs are, especially when it's coming at a cost to Illinois taxpayers.
Greg, I've heard the word Cadillac plan to describe the health insurance that state taxpayers provide to state workers before, but it's usually been, you know, outside critics of Illinois state government spending practices. Cadillac plan, of course, refers to high-end health insurance, covers, you know, much more than most of us get in the private sector. But this is the first time I think, I heard a government official use Cadillac plan to describe what state workers are getting with their health insurance.
Yeah, the direct quote from Raven Devon, who's the director of the Illinois Department of Central Management Services, said, "There's no secret, quote, we have what we call a Cadillac plan." She goes on to say, over the last 3 years, we've seen traditional increases between 5-9%. This year, between mandates from the General Assembly and our carriers, coming in at nearly 40% increases. Those are unheard of numbers, she said. It has been consistent across our carriers, an extremely large increase across the board when it comes to the state of Illinois coverage. So another element to this hearing was State Senator Dave Severson also pointing to the continued mandates that the Illinois legislature passes impacting state-regulated insurance plans. And the state employee insurance plans fit into that category. So clearly, the question of how much mandates are costing taxpayers in the long run for things like public sector employee insurance coverage, clearly that's an ongoing inflationary concern that taxpayers have to face.
At this hearing, as far as I can tell, Greg, there was no talk about maybe taking that Cadillac plan that state employees currently receive and have received for years and years and years, and maybe reducing it to a more moderate private sector like plan. So I guess that's not going to be on the table, and taxpayers are just going to have to eat this cost increase.
Well, part of this also, Dan, you got to consider when you're talking about state employees in a state like Illinois, they are members of a collective bargaining unit. So the unions obviously get involved in negotiating these contracts. And part of the contracts, it's not just, you know, salaries. It's also benefits. So clearly, the benefits right. package being something negotiated between that collective bargaining unit and the either governor's office, or you've also got other separate constitutional officers like the comptroller and the treasurer and the secretary of state and the attorney general. They all have their own set of employees that have these collective bargaining units as well. So yeah, all of that's kind of worked into the mix, and the taxpayers are the ones that are primarily footing the bill.
Thanks for that analysis, Greg. Plenty of other things going on in Springfield this week as it relates to the state legislature. Too much to even get into in the time that we have for this episode. But let's talk about just a couple other items there. One was it was Chamber Day in Springfield this week. Illinois Chamber of Commerce essentially brought business concerns to the state legislature to discuss certain legislation, things like that. Tell us what happened during this.
So, yeah, the Illinois Chamber of Commerce, a very large statewide organization. Association, an association that business leaders are a part of, from small businesses to those major corporations that have a large manufacturing base in Illinois. They rely on the Illinois Chamber of Commerce to keep them plugged in and to advocate on their behalf whenever proposed legislation's going through the state capitol. So they hosted a chamber day. It's an annual event in Springfield. They take out a hotel space and they have lunch and they have a series of speakers. Well, this year, as they did last year, they had the four legislative leaders. Senate President Don Harmon spoke, and some of the things he had to say was they hope to get a balanced budget. That's their main concern. They also are looking at addressing the Biometric Information Privacy Act, something that a lot of businesses have raised red flags about, and something that could lead to adding to the litigious environment in the state of Illinois and exorbitant payouts from those cases that could arise and have been ongoing. But he also talked about how there doesn't really seem to be any appetite whatsoever for putting taxpayers on the hook for major league sports stadiums. So kind of indicating that you're not going to see any movement on those proposals that we've seen, not just from the Chicago Bears, but also the Chicago White Sox, and trying to get some kind of tax carve-outs or subsidies to help them with new proposed stadiums. Then you had the Senate Minority Leader, John Curran. He addressed the business community with what seemed to be just a completely different, contrasting message from the Senate President. And Senate President Don Harmon said that they're hearing the business community and they're working to get a balanced budget. But Leader Curran, he said that there are a lot of things coming down the pike that are going to be impacting businesses. But one thing Curran also focused on was public safety. And the importance of public safety and saying that business leaders across the state have those concerns, because if you're going to operate a business in the state, you want to make sure that you have public safety top of mind, not just for your consumers, but also for your employees. So public safety was one major issue that Senate Minority Leader, the Republican leader, John Curran, had to talk about in front of the business community. And then separately, they had House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch and House Minority Leader Tony McCombie both address the group of business leaders with Chamber Day here in Springfield. And the House Speaker, he talked about a book that he gave other Democrats in the Democratic caucus about the Infinity Game and how people need to be playing the Infinity Game at the State House and differentiating that from a finite game. Saying that a finite game has a beginning, a middle, and an end, he said that legislators need to be thinking in an infinite term because the work they do never ends. So he kind of took a bit of a what some may see as like a TEDx type of approach to talking to the business leaders. But the House Minority Leader, Tony McCombie, she told business leaders that they need to be on the lookout for legislation that's going to negatively impact them. And she specifically targeted the proposal to end the tipped wage in Illinois, saying that that is a measure, if it passes, could lead to a lot of small businesses closing up their restaurants and leading to even more job losses. So an interesting mix of different priorities that the legislative leaders laid out for business leaders during Chamber Day here in Springfield.
California just raised its minimum wage for restaurants to $20 an hour, fast food restaurants in particular. And there have been thousands of layoffs and business closings as a result of it. So that is something that the legislature needs to keep in mind. What happens when you put into place new legislation that dramatically increases costs on businesses? One final footnote on this before we move on, Greg. Our Chamber Day story reported on by the Center Square's Kevin Bessler included a graph about a study from Simplify LLC that was released earlier this year that ranked Illinois as the worst state in which to start a new business. And they cited things like the state's maximum corporate tax rate of 9.5%, which is higher than all of our neighbors, and the out-migration story that we've been following for a decade, with the state losing tens of thousands of people each and every year on net to out-migration to other states, and many of them being working age adults who are educated, who generally can fill these jobs.
We've also got the issue of neighboring Missouri eyeballing getting rid of their corporate income tax over several years, and also getting rid of tax credits. And that's a huge contrast. If they ultimately do pass that measure in Missouri, which I believe it already passed the Missouri Houses and in the Missouri Senate, that would be a direct competition to Illinois' high corporate income tax rate for corporations, but also all the slew of tax credit programs that Illinois has, from the EDGE tax credit that's been controversial in the past to, you know, carve outs for battery manufacturers or the EV industry, to even, you know, carve outs for data industry, all these different carve outs laid out with that high corporate income tax rate. If Missouri ends their corporate income tax, that over even several years, that could be a major competitive factor that could negatively impact the state of Illinois. And Governor J.B. Pritzker, when we asked him, our reporter Katrina Peterson was able to ask, you know, how do you keep Illinois competitive if Illinois tax credits pick winners and losers? And the governor simply said that Illinois doesn't pick winners and losers. But even the Illinois Senate continues to evaluate modifications and even bringing about new tax credits.
Another bill working its way through the state legislature also would impact certain businesses in the state. The Illinois state passed a measure that would prohibit certain hotels from using single-use plastic bottles by 2026. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is an interesting story. We've seen similar legislation pass last year that essentially said that state agencies have to start eliminating the use of single-use plastics. Now they're starting to expand that type of idea to the private sector. And State Senator Laura Fine from Glenview, a Democrat, she proposed Senate Bill 2960, got it through committee and onto the Senate floor this week. And she said, right now, we're putting so much plastic pollution into waterways that it's no longer safe for consumption. And she said that hotels are already getting rid of single-use plastics. But Republican State Senator Steve McClure fired back and said, if that's the case, if hotels are already doing this, then mandating it, it's not necessary. In addition, he said that the measure they passed out of the Senate, now it goes to the House, would require local states' attorneys to enforce this. And, you know, first infraction would be just a written warning. Second infraction would be $500 per finding for a hotel. So clearly, that's a one priority. They've already advanced this early in spring session. But Dan, it's still early in spring session. We're not even into May yet. And I imagine we're going to see all kinds of different proposals pop out of both chambers at the Illinois State House.
No doubt, Greg. I'm sure state's attorneys love the idea of having to go. And if this does become law and Pritzker signs it, passes the House, becomes law, of having to go to hotels to check on whether or not they're offering single-use plastic bottle.
Especially when they're still having to deal with the ongoing issues surrounding the Pretrial Fairness Act and all the requirements they have to, you know, take part in order to try to keep somebody behind bars for an alleged crime pretrial. So, yeah, state's attorneys, they're being given yet the potential of yet another priority they may have to put on their to-do list.
So stepping away from all the activity in Springfield and the legislature this week, Greg, although still indirectly related, the American Legislative Exchange Council released its annual Rich States, Poor States report. And guess what? Illinois didn't rank very highly this year, as it hasn't in the past. But to tell us what the report said.
Yeah, so Alex reports for Rich States, Poor States. I think this is like the 17th year they've done this, and Illinois regularly down on the list. In the most recent, ranking 46th. But Illinois, that was the previous report. Now Illinois ranks 48th in the nation for economic outlook.
Wow.
It's everything from tax rates to outbound migration to a whole host of things. But one thing is interesting is, you know, ALEC does recognize in their reporting when states are doing well. One state that an ALEC official talked about was Utah, saying that Utah has been number one in all 17 editions that they've had. Wow. Because Utah continues to grow. And when census numbers came out, they said it wasn't a surprise that Utah was a big winner in population growth as the fastest growing state in America, because they say Utah has the right policies in place that help with economic growth. So what are people to do with this report, right? I mean, ALEC puts these reports out, and they hope that it's a guide of sorts for policymakers and states to evaluate or reevaluate their policies. But Dan, you and I know that all the years we've been reporting on Illinois, just pointing to the report after report from Illinois having the second highest property taxes to U.S. Census Bureau data showing the state has a decade of declining population, to even U-Haul and other moving truck companies showing that Illinois is leading the country in outbound migration behind states like California. All of these different reports that have come out, Illinois not faring well when it comes to business taxes or overall tax burden, doesn't really seem to change the trajectory of policies at the Illinois State House. So clearly, we'll see if this report gets picked up and used to maybe do a complete rewrite of Illinois policies, but that is yet to be seen in the years, at least I've been at the State House covering these types of stories.
I was going to say, don't hold your breath, Greg. We've been covering state government in Illinois for a long time. Won't throw a number out there. Don't want to age us too much on the show.
We're seasoned. We are seasoned reporters.
That's an inside joke between Greg and me and our producer. But why don't we move on, Greg? We are almost out of time, so we don't have a lot of time for this last segment. But there was a congressional hearing held in Chicago this week. The U.S. House Ways and Means Committee on Work and Welfare held a hearing on the dignity of work, lifting Americans out of poverty. That committee is chaired by Illinois' own U.S. Representative Darren LaHood, a Republican from Peoria, and Matt Pabrocki, president of the Illinois Policy Institute, was a panel member there. This related to helping lower-income residents pull themselves up and find work, whether it's in the state or anywhere around the country. Just we covered it, Greg, briefly. Tell us what happened at the hearing.
Yeah, I've known Matt for several years. I did not know the very personal story that he shared with the congressional committee, that he had to walk away from work to help his mother, who had cancer, who later died. And he said that during that time, he could have qualified for assistance, but he chose not to take it. And he says he's glad he did not take it, because he says that he's seen too many instances of people taking various, you know, types of assistance programs, be it TANF or food stamps, and they get stuck. They get stuck in that cycle. And he ultimately used that as an example of why these programs need to be reformed. And in particular, he said there needs to be work requirements when people get welfare benefits. There needs to be other requirements, like allowing for, you know, internships and a variety of other things, so that people don't get stuck in this, what he called a benefits cliff. Because if you are getting benefits and you're at a certain threshold, and then you say get a promotion, people are making the decision to not take that promotion because they'd make more money. Therefore, they would be losing a certain amount of benefits. So that's that kind of cycle that Pabrocki was urging the committee to take into consideration about the importance of the dignity of work and not getting stuck in a cycle of poverty by being reliant on welfare that if you were to make any more money, you wouldn't get. So clearly, there's a lot of things that members of Congress have to discuss if they want to go the path of enhancing welfare benefits or maybe modifying the programs so that people don't get stuck in that spiral.
Interesting ideas and conversation, Greg. Thank you for joining us today. Listeners can keep up with all of the stories we talked about and more at thecentersquare.com.